If history is any indication, the challenge between right and wrong has only had one winner. The right side always prevailed, while the wrong one always defeated and cast out. However, that never stopped the oppressors from imposing their will on the weak by whatever means necessary. The weak has been tortured and taken advantage of during the course of human history. With all that in mind, it seems the world has never felt the need for a savior like this before. The ones who seek justice have awakened to put an end to the suffering of those who have been wronged by the oppressors. The status quo obviously doesn't satisfy justice seekers. They can see the tyranny and cruelty of world powers that has resulted in the spread of poverty, war, hatred, hypocrisy, and vice. And they are determined to wipe them out. That sounds like a great promise. Yet it wouldn't be fulfilled without the presence of a savior. Fortunately, such a person has been long promised by many religions, including Islam. Islam, along with Christianity and some other major religions, have made their followers aware of the coming of the true savior, the one who will establish justice for all. Humans' natural inclination toward justice promotes the need for an ideal government that treats everyone with respect. A government where everybody gets their fair share out of life, regardless of their race or nationality. So as it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, the true believers need to work toward the realization of the coming of the true Savior, which will establish the true ideal government in the world.
Welcome back, dear viewers. As you know, Dr. Rebecca Masterton is with us from London. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to Open Talk. It's good to have you with us one more time.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining. Viewers, we're to talk about the phrase or catchphrase, desperate times call for desperate measures. Sister, the website answers.com gives us a definition which says, it means, this phrase means that when people get into trouble, they may be backed into a corner and feel forced to do things they wouldn't normally do in terms of survival. For example, suppose that you get lost in the woods. After a few days without food, you become desperate for a meal, so you may find yourself eating plants, bugs, animals, etc., that you wouldn't normally eat just to survive. This portrays the meaning of this phrase, desperate times call for desperate measures. Now, can we apply it to the end times, as many people think the end times is called dark and hard times?
Okay, so you're saying that they're saying the end times are difficult times?
Yes, yes. People call it desperate times. How does it work?
Yes,
how does this phrase work here? Does it call for desperate measures?
I mean, one has to be careful about the measures that are taken in difficult times. If we look at the narrations of, for example, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam,
right.
He said that one of the traits of a just person is that even if they are angry, they don't commit any act of injustice.
Right.
So this is what we are seeing today, where people do feel pushed into, as you say, a corner, and they are taking all kinds of measures.
Right.
But the measures have to be both effective and balanced as well.
Yeah, they have to be valued.
Yeah, they have to. We always have to abide by the ethics
right.
of humanity that are set out in Islam. Otherwise, you know, one extreme action can give rise to another extreme action,
true.
And then we see this reactive process going on where that leads to conflict.
Thank you, sister. Nicely mentioned, Dr. Gambay. What do you think?
Yeah, indeed. Some people say, okay, because this is the end of time and the hardest time we can find, then these behaviors that are happening are natural, normal, and normally people are doing
yeah.
that because the time is difficult, and the lifestyle is
and it's
difficult.
Time to survive.
Yeah, we are forced to do something, but these are not, you know, acceptable and not good excuse for the, you know, injustice and oppression in this world.
Right.
It is mentioned in the Hadith that people in the end of time, in the appearance, they are human beings, but their hearts are like the hearts of Shaitan, Satan.
True.
Is placed in their hearts. And the actions are like the wild animals, like wolves and the lions and the other things. So this is because of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, time is difficult, but these actions are not, you know, justified. We cannot justify these actions because the time is hard.
Exactly.
We cannot tolerate and stand that time. So in any time, we have to do our best, you know, try to do our own ethical and moral behaviors and to bring peace and justice to the world, not injustice.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Shahir.
Thank you, Sister Sadakian. Dr. Masterton, again, thanks for being with us here today. I wanted to kind of follow up on a comment that Dr. Qambari made, and he was talking about how it is critical for the people to change their mind, you know, it is critical, it's important for us to make sure that the mental framework that they are almost stuck in, that they are freed from this. So the question comes to mind is how do you change the minds of the people so that they begin to promote justice and they begin to yearn for justice, especially in a time when there is so much misinformation out there?
Well, there are different kinds of people. Obviously, we have some people in the world who are absolutely belligerent, 100% belligerent and unchangeable and determined to enrich themselves at other people's expense.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are suffering, we could say, the majority of the world's population, in a sense, I would argue, perhaps it's not a very fashionable point to make, but I would argue that we need to get back to a culture of reading and studying of the ethical and spiritual teachings that were spread by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. What I've noticed is that one of the reasons that people are suffering and are stuck in a particular, you know, mental prison is because they have no understanding of internal liberation. And this is again because we're now living in a world where predominantly people don't read, they don't study, they don't contemplate. They might know about the Holy Prophet or Islam or Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, but they don't take any notice of them. So we need to get back to studying these teachings and encouraging people to, encouraging ourselves as well to implement them.
Excellent. Very, very interesting. Dr. Qambari, we talked a little bit about these theoretical challenges, and you had discussed that the other aspect was some practical challenges that are faced during this time. If you could please elaborate on some of these practical challenges that will be faced by humanity at this time.
There is one word that I want to take benefit out of that word to explain a little bit this situation that we are in, I mean the end of time, and that's the word enculturation. Enculturation is the process in which people, especially the officials of one society, are trying to cultivate some values, beliefs in the minds and in the hearts of people. So this process called enculturation. If the officers of a country or the scholars that are claiming that they are owning some values or some knowledge of religion, such as ulama and scholars. So if they be successful, they are successful in this process, I mean process of enculturation, then the society and the mind of people will become some kind of awareness, mental awareness or spiritual awareness. Otherwise, this process of enculturation, would become upside down, and the other culture comes, penetrates this society of Muslims, and then enters the minds of people. And through that, people go in another way, the wrong way that the officials and the Islamic scholars and the religious scholars are not meaning, this process and this way. They're not saying that this is correct. They are criticizing that. So Enculturation is very important. And within the enculturation process, as my colleague mentioned very nicely, we have to encourage our people, especially the youth generation, the young generation, to study more about what right. we have from tradition, from the Holy Prophet, from Ahlul Bayt, about the end of time. You know, right now, people, instead of studying and thinking, very having profound thinking about the issue of the end of time, they are watching some films mm-hmm. and just listening to some voices that are not correct and authentic voices, mm-hmm. Are not authentic films. They are taking some image from those films about Akhir al-Zaman, the end of time, and out of that, they are mm-hmm. practicing, and through that, they are building their own community, communication, and cultural way of life. Mm-hmm. But instead of that, I want to, notice on this point and invite people, especially Muslim young generation, mm-hmm. to come and return back to the original Islam and right. Islamic resources, such as the Holy Quran, just referring to some tafasir and reading the meaning, at least literal meaning of the verses, and as well as the hadith that we have. So if we are successful in this way, then we are successful in changing the mind of people.
Right.
And then through the changing mind, the other change happens, and this changing of the real world and external world. Within the society, first of all, we have to start changing ourselves. Mm-hmm. After our mind, changing our behavior.
Our behavior,
our treatment with the other people. Mm-hmm. And then the family is the second time, and mm-hmm. the second, level and phase. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Quran says, "Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." So first of all, you have to be careful about yourself and your family. So you start, purifying your family and changing the way of life of the family, if it is wrong, to change it to the correct one. And then the neighbors, the community, mm-hmm. and the whole city. And if we can, at the last phase, and that's very difficult, of course, the whole globe and the universe, if we can. But this awareness, go through person, intrapersonal, and then interpersonal, intercommunal, and international. So international, this is the eventually. Different phases that we can imagine for that.
And it really shows you how important and how integral the individual is on this level. Because as you said, it is the individual where it starts. And it seems like the misinformation that occurs is usually directed at individuals. If you misguide the individuals, then they will never rise up. They will never look for justice and... Excellent point.
Because the society and the globe are made by individuals. So if you want to change the society and the globe, you have to change the individuals.
The individual, mm-hmm. excellent. Sister Sadiqian, we're looking forward to see what you have in store for us today.